Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name's Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. You need to go by there and drop me a line if you get a chance. Let me know you're listening. You can download former Bible studies there. You can get this Bible study there. You'll find a link for most recent Bible studies. It'll take you to an index folder where they're dated. And you can see some more recent folders there with more recent studies. So do take advantage of that. And of course, make sure you watch that video there on my front page. It's just a short 10-minute video. And, some of the things I talk about regularly are touched upon in that video. Or I should say I touch upon regularly, but something that you should share, send a link to everyone on your list, so that, more people can understand, have a better understanding of the faith and why we believe in things like the virgin birth and that Yahshua was the second Adam, a new creation. He was God in the flesh. He was the creator salvation, and he is our salvation. We're continuing here and haven't got too far in Psalms chapter 51, talking about David saying that I was shapen in iniquity, of course, touching on that, the sin of our great-great-great-grandfather, Adam, the very first man, how because he sinned and the death sentence was laid upon him that you shall surely die. And we all have that sentence upon us from the day that we're born, because we shall surely die, every single one of us. And there may be a few exceptions, and there have been. So the Heavenly Father can do whatever he wants, but they do have to go through a metamorphosis, even as the Messiah said, unless the seed is planted in the ground. And we are all good seed if we are washed in his blood. The few that they'll be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, I guess that's a sort of a death when the trumpet sounds. But like I said, I don't expect to see that in my lifetime, and perhaps it'll be several hundred years before anyone sees that, before the Messiah actually comes and puts down all the kingdoms of men and puts an end to the times of the Gentiles, which is represented by Nebuchadnezzar's image dream, which was interpreted, which interpretation we have from the book of Daniel. And the interpretation is, the dream is sure, and the interpretation thereof is sure. So let us make sure that we understand that that image from that dream represents what I believe the Messiah called the times of the Gentiles, because it all started with Babylon, when Babylon went in and destroyed the temple. And from that time on, Israel was under the domination of other nations until Israel was destroyed and finally in 70 AD. And we still have the other nations dominating the world, specifically the Roman Empire, or a type of the Roman Empire being mingled with clay unto this day and until the time that the Messiah comes. Let us understand what that means. And we've got a template for prophecy that we can kind of use as a standard to measure any other prophetic utterance or whatever any other prophecy teachers may have to say about prophecy, to see if it fits in there. And if it don't fit, well, then we know they're either false prophets or speaking presumptuously. Let's continue here. He says, I was shapen in iniquity in my sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So we understand what that means. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And just, you know, beautiful words, words which we sing in congregations and probably are sung in congregations throughout the world. And that's one I have to add to our list here for our home church is this one. I don't have it on my list yet, but I must add it because I love it. It's one of my favorite choruses or psalms to sing is that there. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Chapter 51, verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. And speaking, of course, his blood guiltiness, his murder, which he committed and which he received a judgment on his house, that the sword would not pass from his house. And there are others that have brought false accusations. We talked about that a little bit more when we were talking about Bathsheba. They said that because David took a second wife, which we already know is a false accusation, that's why he had all that trouble in his life. No, it was the judgment of God for his adultery and his murder. This is plain from the scriptures. People, before they speak presumptuously, they should at least read the word, which is plainly written. So, and I could never condemn a man for doing something that the Almighty does not condemn a man for. So we need to be careful about that. There's a lot of things that are, how would you say it? There are a lot of things that are abhorrent in our contemporary society. Like in contemporary society, at least Western society, it is abhorrent to have many children. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to have big families. You are looked down upon. You know, what's wrong with you? But it's a godly principle to have huge families, to bring forth a godly seed. As a matter of fact, I think it is antichrist to practice birth control and abortion. On top of being selfish, I believe it's a sinful thing because you're going against, the very first commandment that the Creator gave the man and the woman, which was to be fruitful and multiply. And to emphasize that commandment, look at what he did. He made it a beautiful thing for a man and a wife to experience. He made it such a beautiful thing that even the heathen want to do it, but they don't want the responsibility and they don't want the children. They want to kill them before they're born, or they want to prevent them from being born. Just disobedient. They hate God. They hate his commandments. But if we love God and we love his commandments, we must acknowledge that his commandment says to be fruitful and multiply. And if those who call themselves Christians, if all those people out there in those corporate churches, if they weren't practicing birth control and abortion, guess what? They wouldn't be fighting the war against abortion. You know, Roe v. Wade, they get up every year and they have their walks for life and stuff like that. It would all be unnecessary. Why would it be unnecessary? Because they would be taking over the society and the nation by sheer population out of obedience to the Creator. It is because they are disobedient that they're losing the war. And they're hypocrites. Probably most of those people out there just to make themselves feel good. They're doing their part, and perhaps they really believe that abortion is murder while they're practicing birth control. But like I said, if they were obedient to the Heavenly Father, and I'm speaking, well, now listen to me, all you people that are married. You maybe think you're older, getting in your 30s and 40s, and you young ones getting married. The Heavenly Father wants to bless you with many children. As many, you should have as many as he will let you have. That's right. And you should never practice birth control or abortion. And when you go to the allopathic doctors and you have your child, many of them will lie to you. And they will tell you that you can't have any more children. You might die if you have another child. Let me rip out your organs for having children. Let me hysterize you, hysterectomize you. And they do that to a lot of women. They lie to them. Trust in God. That's what I say. Trust in God. Don't listen to these priests, these high priests of Satan and pharmakia. Do not listen to them. They've been schooled in abortion. They've been schooled in population control. They will lie to you and think that they're doing a good thing. That's why they're so convincing, because they really believe in what they're doing. They believe it's fine to lie to you, to rip out your, to give you a hysterectomy so that you can't bear any more children, because they're doing their part for Gaia. They're doing their part for the earth. And I know a lot of women who have suffered under these horrible practitioners of pharmacology. Pharmakia, high priests of pharmakia, I call them, in their white robes with blood on their shoes, lying to people, putting people to death, and all the while having their conscience seared with a hot iron, believing what they're doing is good for humanity, good for earth, good for people, limiting the population. Or they just may not like your race. They might not like your color. They may think that your people are trash and they don't want any more of them. Who knows what their agenda is? Or their agenda is all these things jumbled up and mixed up together. And they genuinely believe it, and they come across as so genuine and so convincing. Don't fall for it. Trust in God. Don't believe the liars. So, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to be obedient to God, and I will trust Him, and I will live with the consequences of my trust in Him. Okay, let us continue here. We got to, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with the burnt offering and whole burnt offering, then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Without righteousness, it's all nothing. Psalm 52. To the chief musician, Maskil, instructive, a didactic poem, a psalm of David. When Doeg, the Edomite, came and told Saul and said to him, David is come to the house of Ahimelech, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, and but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. And who are his saints? We are his saints. All those who trust in him, all those who have crossed the border into his kingdom and made him their king and said, I am willing to live by your law. I may fail. I may fall down. I may fall short, but I'm going to get back up and I'm going to keep on trying until I learn obedience to your law. We are his saints, the people who have that heart. That is the heart of David. That is the heart that he had. We're not like these. We're going to fall down and we shall see and fear. Yes, when we see the wicked fall, we fear. And it says, and we shall laugh too. But he's going to destroy them. The deceit who trust in a deceitful tongue, love evil more than good. They're all around us and they trust in the abundance of their riches, but their riches are going to die with them. Psalm 53. To the chief musician upon Mehalath. And I don't know what Mehalath is. I guess we're going to look it up again. A popular song, it says, initial word of a popular song. And, of course, Maskil again, which again means a didactic poem, instructive. The Psalm of David. Ah, here's the one. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I love this because a lot of people, they spend their time taking the scripture out of context, and they can make the scripture say anything they want it to say by taking any phrase or part of a verse out of context. Well, here's a verse. Did you know that the Bible says there is no God? Of course, now that I look at it, it only says that in the King James Version. But it's that's what it says. I believe they added the there is there. I think that was good at that time. A lot of what when they updated to the 1611 to the authorized version, a lot of what they did was good. And some of the things they added, I don't agree with. But in this case, I think that it was a good thing when it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. That kind of sounds like something that was repeated in the New Testament. There are none that do good, no, not one. There are none that do good. Of course, speaking of those, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Or the fool just really doesn't even have to say that. And he go out and he just say God's not watching, cause God's not holding him accountable, cause he keeps getting away with his iniquity. So he does it more and more, and he thinks, oh, well, hey, I can do anything I want. Foolishness. You know, it is foolishness. It's the same thing as saying there is no God, thinking you can get away with it. You can't get away with anything. It's foolishness because you don't see, for those of you who think, well, I did this and I can get away with it, or you keep getting away with something and you think there are no repercussions for it. But the immediate repercussion is what it makes you. The immediate repercussion of your iniquity, of the things you think you're getting away with, is who you are. Look at yourself. Who are you? What are you doing? You know, who you are is evidenced by the things you're doing. So it's the shaping of your soul that is the immediate repercussion. You are becoming an evil and despicable thing. That's the immediate repercussion. You can't get away with anything at any time. Just because you got away with theft once or you know, doing this here or looking at some pornography there or taking advantage of this person there, you're not getting away with anything. It may have been enjoyable, you know, enjoying it. Sin is enjoyable for a season. Yes, it is. Acknowledged, you know, willfully acknowledged. I acknowledge that. But you're not getting away with anything because it's shaping you into something evil. And it becomes addictive too. The repercussions of what you think you're getting away with are immediate on your soul. And then you will stand before the judge one day. And he's going to say, look, I gave you liberty. And look what you did with that liberty. I gave you a life. And look what you did with the life. You turned it into something evil. And I warned you again and again, but you continued on doing the evil just because I let you get away with it. You know what? Our Heavenly Father had someone ask me a question the other day because I had this anti-Zeitgeist video on the internet. So I get all kinds of comments. And someone asked me the other day, they said, where was Jesus for the slaves in the 1800s? Wow, you know, that's kind of out of the blue. It's kind of really off topic. But that's the kind of things that, people come up with. You know what? The answer is that he is the same place as he was with the slaves that were in Egypt, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago, maybe. The slaves in Egypt. Same place. I told the man to read the Gospels and find out for himself, because I wasn't going to answer the question for him, because I could have said something like that, and he still, without reading, he'd get no understanding. So hopefully he'll heed my words and read the Gospels for himself, and he'll find out who Jesus or Yahshua is and where he was. He was for them where he is for us right now, and all the slaves in America that are slaves today, or all the slaves throughout the earth for all time. Yahshua, our Creator and our Savior, is in the same place, offering everyone the same liberty and the same freedom from sin that he has offered all men from all time. He is the same. It is the iniquity. It is the sin of mankind that brought this corruption and slavery and all of these wickedness and all these trials into our lives and in the world. And we are just part of it. They are here to test us, to see what we are. Like I said, you think you're getting away with something? No. It's a test to see what you are, who you are, what you're made of. What choice are you going to make? Are you going to choose to continue to in iniquity and idolatry just because you can get away with it and it feels good? Or are you going to cry out and say, man, this is not right. This is not loving my neighbor as myself according to God's law. Teach me thy ways, O God. Write your law upon my heart that I might not sin against thee. Choose this day whom you will serve. A Psalm of David. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they. Yeah, they continue in their corruption. Instead of putting on the righteousness of God and encountering that corruption and getting away and building something good and true and pure and beautiful forever by putting off the corruption of the flesh and putting on the righteousness of Yahshua, our Messiah. That's the choice we have. We can continue in our corruption. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There it is. None that doeth good. No, not one. Well, it looks like we'll have to pick this up when we get back from the break here. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to take a break, listen to the news, and we'll be back after that.